in open field, 20, 50, 10, 5, touchdown!
From the front office,
we'll never be totally satisfied till we win the championship.
Yeah, we have a lot of young players on this team and new coaching staff. I think we're happy about it.
To the coach's office.
I'm enjoying the interaction with the coaches. I'm enjoying working with the players. I enjoy the process.
From the Browns of the present.
I'm thrilled to be where I'm at each and every day to play quarterback here.
I am a threat. I'm on the football field. I can possibly get that football. And when I get the football, you better strap your helmet on tight, you know, make sure all your chin straps buckled up because it'll take you for a ride.
To the Browns of the past.
Bernie Kosar joining us.
Brian Seif.
Jerry Shirk.
Clay Matthews.
This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Quaker Steak and Lube on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Bison pushes, and he's in! Touchdown! It is all over! The Browns have won it!
Now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
And we welcome you to this very windy Football Tuesday on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Going to dive into special teams tonight. Going to take the look back at the 2011 special teams performance. Very interesting stuff there. Most of you know the story. Up and down. There was actually, I think, more up than down, but there was definitely some down. And we're going to break down that area of the Browns in 2011 with Chris Tabor, who is the first-year Browns special teams coach. He'll help us with that. We'll get into the numbers of the position with Matt Florjancic, ClevelandBrowns.com. We're also going to have a discussion with Muhammad Masakwa, the veteran wide receiver for the Browns. Just a little look back again at the 11 season for him and for the team. Get a little veteran perspective on that from Mo. He talks with our own Jameer Howerton on that. So it'll be interesting to hear what Muhammad has to say. And we are going to answer your questions. We always do that on this show. You submit them to the Browns official Facebook and Twitter pages. And we get a bunch of questions from you each day, and we're happy about that, and we love it. And that's what I'm here for, to interact, to give you some answers to your questions as best I can. Via Facebook, Kenyatta asks, is Carlton Mitchell going to see any significant playing time next season? That's a good one. I think he's deserving of certainly competing to get that chance. I mean, at the wide receiver position, who doesn't really have a chance to make a mark who's still on this roster or who's going to be on this roster when training camp begins in the summer of 2012? When training camp begins this summer, you're wearing a Browns uniform with a receiver number on it, and you're at that spot. You're in the mix. It's wide open. Who has anything really locked down? Greg Little, he's got something locked down. We'll see what happens with Mo Masakwa. We'll see what happens with some of the other receivers that were playing for this football team. I mean, Joshua Cribbs, of course, he's part of the deal, but he's the utility knife. He's the guy who, the Swiss Army knife. He's the return guy, the coverage guy. Going to talk a lot about him in the special teams conversations that we're going to have on this show tonight. But as a wide receiver, he was the second leading receiver on this team. So by design, is that the way the Browns want it to be? Do they want better than that? I think you got to want better than that. I think you got to want more dynamic people involved in the passing game. Now, as we talk about, we're going to have a lot of, as this week rolls on, a lot of discussion regarding the conference championship games this weekend, the trends of the postseason, because those factor into your conversation about the state of your football team and what you need to be where those teams are. So is offense still in vogue? Big time, big numbers producing offense. With one team it is, the New England Patriots, who have the next to last ranked defense in the league and the next to last ranked pass defense in the league. But three other teams in this Final Four play good defense. Browns played solid defense for the most part. And foundationally, I think that's a good thing given what we see that's left in this tournament. But it doesn't answer everything. You still have to score. You still have to make plays. I still think the Patriots are in very good shape because they got a quarterback who throws for a gazillion yards in Tom Brady and all those receivers who make plays. And receivers, the tight ends who make plays in addition to the receivers. Chris on Facebook, with our first pick in the draft, If Blackman and Richardson are both available, who do we take? Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one. Fourth overall pick. You know, it's a high pick for really kind of both spots. I'm more comfortable at that spot going quarterback or even going lineman if you've got an overwhelmingly great player who can be a 10-year starter on your offensive line at right tackle. You got one of those guys at left tackle, Joe Thomas. Or if you have the extraordinary pass rusher. I don't know that guy exists in this crop. But it's still, Chris, and to others, and as I've said before, I'll say it again, we'll have pre-draft conversation with every show because you're interested in that, you're asking about it, and I want to engage on that. But I will also tell you, we're going to learn more and pick up more as we move along in this offseason. Next week's going to be a big week. This show is going to be in Mobile, Alabama at the Senior Bowl. Yours truly will broadcast there from Monday through Friday through the preliminary of the Senior Bowl, the practices, which is really the most important part of that week. The game itself, the All-Star game itself, anticlimactic. But the practices leading up to the game, that's the interesting stuff. And that's where we get to break down and analyze who's there, and we'll give our takes on what we see from the practices during the week of the seniors who are there. And we're going to get a better handle on who is actually going to participate in this game as this week goes on. We're doing our due diligence. Matt Florjancic, our writer from ClevelandBrowns.com, our video production crew, we're all going to be there. We're going to be providing you a lot of stuff besides this show, stuff on the ClevelandBrowns.com website. Loads of information, conversations with the scouting staff that's going to be there and from the Browns, and conversations with players who are taking part in the game. And the beauty of it, though, with the other media that's there, the scouts that are there, is you just watch and you listen to the conversations. It's some of the best sideline conversation you'll get if you're into that stuff, which I am because I have no life. This is football. This is all I do. Well, maybe not all I do, but it's a large portion of what I do. So we're looking forward to that. And again, to those who ask about draft questions and so forth, I think we'll have more educated answers and more details, not necessarily about giving you what the Browns' plans are, because we're not going to have that. We're not going to offer that, and it's frankly not going to be available to us. It's going to be a pretty well-guarded secret, as it should be. For all teams. That's not just the Browns policy. It's a policy for all 32 NFL teams, pretty much. All right, in a couple of minutes, we are going to have a conversation. Jameer Howardson, our own from the Browns, is going to sit down with Muhammad Masakwa and talk with him about 2011, what he sees ahead for himself, for the team in 2012. Stick around for that and much more on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. And brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports is in the game.
Get behind the wheel of your new Ford and save at Liberty, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Right now, you can lease three of the best-selling fuel-efficient Fords for only $169 a month. Select from hundreds of Focuses, Fusions, and Escapes for just $169. That's right, Focus, Fusion, and Escape, all for only $169 a month. Large selection, guaranteed financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty has been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion.
Madden NFL 12 delivers an authentic NFL experience with an all-new collision system, team-specific runners, and real-life broadcast with all-new dynamic player performance. Players' traits rise and fall based on their performance throughout the game. Madden NFL 12, true to the game. EA Sports Madden NFL 12 is available now. Want to learn more? Go to ea.com/MaddenNFL.
I am Bernie Kosar, and I'm proud to say that I am from Northeast Ohio, proud to have worn the Cleveland Browns uniform, and proud to have played before the best fans in the world. Likewise, Discount Drug Mart, proud to have served the people of Ohio for over 40 years, offering a wide range of products, convenient locations, and money-saving prices. Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns. Remember, Discount Drug Mart saves you the runaround.
You'll find everything you need. Avalon RV wants to thank everyone that stopped by their display at this year's RV show. They're so grateful. Avalon RV is extending all show sale prices through the end of this month. That's right. All show sale prices are extended through January. You still have time to get the best prices on RVs in town. Visit AvalonRVCenter.com or call 1-800-860-7728. You can follow Avalon RV on Facebook and Twitter. Avalon RV Center, Route 18 in Medina.
Sportsman! Sportsman! Where do you buy the best in hunting, camping, fishing, and outdoor? At the IX Sports Show in Cleveland, of course. The Cleveland Outdoor Adventure Show, now with new dates, January 19th through the 22nd. Hundreds of quality vendors from all over the world. See what's new in hunting, fishing, camping, and outdoor. Calling the Brotherhood. Meet Nick and T-Bone from the hit show Bone Collector. Be amazed by Byron Ferguson's incredible archery shots. Take part in the first annual Sportsman's Auction. Register to win a truckload of cash. Check out the four-wheel drive pavilion and awesome bass tank stocked full of fish. Compete in the third annual Retriever Challenge. See the Wanagim's Wildlife Show, a family favorite, featuring crocs, snakes, and other exotics. Kids fish for free in the trout pond. Stock up on quality gear at special show prices. Admission is $10. Children under 10 are free. There's something for everyone. The Cleveland Outdoor Adventure Show, now with new dates. January 19th through the 22nd at the IX Center. Go to ixsportsshow.com for more details and discount tickets. It's incredible. It's incredible. It's incredible.
1, 2, 3.
The "Tune It Up" part of Leonard Skinner's opening to that song has always been my favorite. Now others would say just the guitar riff, but "Tune It Up." Turn it up, Dino. There you go. Beautiful. Dave DiNatale producing for me tonight on this show, as he does pretty much every night. Cleveland Browns Daily, it's driven by Liberty Ford. And this segment, this conversation with Mohamed Massaqua, it's brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now, EA Sports, it's in the game. Our own Jameer Howerton had a chance to sit down with the Browns veteran receiver and asked him about the disappointment of ending the season on a losing note.
You always want to end the season off on a win. Just to leave a good taste in your mouth. We weren't able to do that, but the thing is, we can definitely build off of it. Guys are going to go home this off season, reflect, you know, and try to come back. We'll have an off season with the team just to try to come back and eliminate some of those small things so that those close games could be victories.
How challenging is it to know that when you look back at the 2011 season, you guys didn't win a divisional game? Will that be something, a nasty taste in your mouth, that will really carry you through this offseason?
It'll just be motivation. It'll be one of those things that it'll light the fire going into next year. Just because we could have, we should have, but we didn't. So whatever it takes or whatever we need to do to make that happen, we'll make sure that we can do it to get some wins.
This season was filled with a lot of ups and downs. Just talk about how the team fought through the adversity.
That's one thing. Guys never quit. You know, a lot of guys played through injuries. A lot of guys played through different situations. You know, things didn't always go the way that we wanted to, but at the end of the day, guys just continue to fight. You know, a lot of pride for guys, a lot of guys that, you know, they play for their brothers, they play for the guy beside them. And, you know, you just love playing with guys like that.
And what do you think a full offseason will do for a team like this, considering the fact that you talked about the injuries, a new offense, a new head coach, a new position coach for you?
You almost get to start from scratch. But you have a little bit of a jump start and you get to build off, but you get to actually see, you know, how things are supposed to be done. Coaches get to, you know, express how they want things done and clean up some of the things that they might have wanted to clean up but just didn't have time or, you know, situation didn't allow. So it gives you a chance just to, you know, it's almost like a breath of fresh air just to start over on a clean slate.
And what did this season mean to you on a personal note, going through all the adversity and some of the challenges that you face with the concussions and with learning a new system and just being with a new position coach yourself?
It's just growth. You just learn to grow from it. You know, ideally the season would have gone differently from the concussion, from the foot to the ups and downs or whatever it may be. But you grow and, you know, whenever the outcome changes, it's just that much better.
moving forward, what is your course of action when it comes to your off-season regimen? When do you start? When does Muhammad start to get back into the groove of things? Or is it a period where you just kind of just take some time to give your body a little rest first and then you jump back into it?
This off-season, I'm especially take some time to get my body back in order, get my feet right, get my head right, and just get my body back right. Do things like yoga and Pilates and, just small things just to get the body back in order and then gradually build into it. I haven't really set a timeline. I'm going to talk to some of the older guys to see how they go about doing things. Last year was kind of a weird year because of the lockout. The year before was even, more different because it was my first off season. So this year, I'm going to really just see how guys that have either played with injuries or played through whatever, how they build back up to come back stronger for the next year.
Now, during that process, do you actually still break down film and, like, watch your footage from the past year?
Somewhat. I'll probably be more tuned in to a lot of the playoff games, just watching some of the other guys compete. May actually go up to one. And then, once you get back in the groove of things, start breaking stuff down. But just, for the first little bit, just try to relax and get my body back in order and just get away for a little bit to regroup.
And what would you think that one particular thing that you would do this offseason to perfect your game?
Just the little things. Just really the little things, just whatever it takes to become, a better receiver in this league. Talking to some of the other guys that are successful in the league, just see just the little things, because a lot of times it's the little things that set guys apart. So just try to figure out whatever that is to try to take my game to the next level.
And when you look at the way the playoff race is taking shape, you look at this AFC North division, all three teams are in the hunt. What does that say about the division that we play in?
It's arguably the best division in football. And the thing that you can look at and take from it is that we were in all the divisional games. So just a few things, being changed, comes back to the little things. We could easily be right up there next year.
And on another note, you're a veteran in a very young locker room, and considering the fact that there were a lot of rookies that were asked to step up and asked to be put into some really key situations, what are your thoughts on how the way the rookies play this year?
They did a great job. Guys, they came in, contributed major minutes, and not just – they were out there making plays. And with that experience, you just get a little bit better. And then a young team no longer is a young team, and you have the experience and you have the growth, and you can build off of that. And whenever you get in those tough situations, you can capitalize off your experience and turn it into wins.
And what do you say to the fans that came out this season that dealt with the unusual offseason, but then football came back, and like we talked about earlier with the ups and downs, with the team, but the fans were here and they stuck with you guys?
It's very much appreciated. This fan base is special, just because they've been through there, through thick and thin with us, and they are so loyal. Always been there, and all that is going to pay off. We're not too far from, being that team. When you think of the Browns, you think of winning history and you think of winning tradition, and it's close. And we just really appreciate them for being there with us.
Thank you, Mo. Appreciate your help.
All right. Thank you, Mo, and thank you, Jameer, for that nice little conversation with Mo Massaqua. When we return to Cleveland Browns Daily, which is driven by Liberty Ford in association with Quaker Steak and Lube, we're going to break down the special teams performance in 2011. Lots to talk about with this, and we have the Browns special teams coach to help us do that, Chris Tabor. That's coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
5 tips for tax season provided by Liberty Ford. 1. Receive your tax return. 2. Go to any Liberty Ford location. 3. Find the pre-owned vehicle that fits your needs. 4. Get approved with Liberty's guaranteed financing. 5. Drive home in your new vehicle. It's that simple. Visit LibertyFord.com to search hundreds of pre-owned vehicles, all makes and models, with special internet pricing, guaranteed financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty, Ben, Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick.
If you love Sink your teeth into Munch Madness with our revved up loop favorites. Try our sweet potato retreads, Greek nachos, shrimp quesadilla, or new appetizer sized flatbread.
Great times, great food, too quick to say
I am Bernie Kosar, and I'm proud to say that I am from Northeast Ohio. Proud to have worn the Cleveland Browns uniform and proud to have played before the best fans in the world. Likewise, Discount Drug Mart, proud to have served the people of Ohio for over 40 years, offering a wide range of products, convenient locations, and money-saving prices. Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns. Remember, Discount Drug Mart saves you the runaround.
You find everything you need.
Hi, I'm Evan Moore. I made my way onto the Cleveland Browns by keeping my head in the game and blocking out all other distractions. I do the same thing when I'm driving my car. That means putting the phone down, keeping my eyes on the road, and buckling up. Every trip, every time. So whether you're just driving around town or to the stadium, never let distracted driving take you out of the game. This message provided by the Ohio Department of Public Safety.
The new computer lab sure is popular, Shelly.
So I've heard. And I'm setting up four more stations next week. When it comes to passions, Shelly tops the list. She heads the IT department for our local school system. Not long ago, she came to me and my team at Time Warner Cable Business Class with an idea. Let students take classes from any of the district's 10 schools without leaving their own classrooms. After all, the more resources the kids have, the more they'll learn. When I met with Shelly, we came up with a way to connect all the schools with an Ethernet solution. Now she can stream high-def video between locations. Who knows what Shelly will think of next? Helping students learn is Shelly's business. I'm proud she's made it my business, too.
To learn more, call 866-TWC4BIZ or visit twcbc.com. Time Warner Cable Business Class. You first, the technology follows.
Products and services not available in all areas. Some restrictions apply.
Rain. Sleet. Snow. Go. Mercedes-Benz 4MATIC offers precision performance through the worst of weather conditions. By constantly monitoring for the first sign of wheel slip, the system is able to help distribute power evenly among the wheels with the best grip. Consider it an all-weather all-star. The pioneer in all-wheel drive technology, Mercedes-Benz is proud to offer it on 10 different model lines. The 2012 C300 4MATIC Sports Sedan, an IIHS top safety pick, is now available for just 1.9% APR for 24 to 36 months, or a lease price of only $379 a month for 33 months with $4,039 due at signing. See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for a test drive today.
Available only to qualified customers exclusively through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services, a participating dealer through January 31st, 2012. Call 1-800-FLO-Mercedes for offer details.
For a test drive, visit your local Northeast Ohio Mercedes-Benz dealer or neohiomercedes.com.
And we welcome you back to Cleveland Browns Daily on this Football Tuesday edition. It's driven by Liberty Ford in association with Quaker Steak and Lube. Hey, you can see Kenny Chesney and Tim McGraw for the first time together in 10 years. That's on July 29th at Cleveland Browns Stadium, plus special guests Grace Potter and the Nocturnals and Jake Owen. Tickets are on sale now for this concert, available at Ticketmaster.com or by calling 1-800-745-3000. In this special teams review segment, it is driven by Liberty Ford. Very pleased to be joined now by the Browns special teams coach, Chris Tabor. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so we're going to break down the Browns special teams from the 2011 season. Very interesting year. Lots of things happened, of course. But I want to start with the positives. And really, there were more of those than the negatives, to the extent that Phil Dawson, still a very reliable place kicker who did what he does, makes those long-distance kicks. Again, consistent. Brad Maynard coming through as an outstanding punter for you when he actually was your third guy as a punter, and no one would necessarily expect that to be the case, that a third punter coming in after the first game would perform as he did. So overall, you had some very good things happen.
No, we did. It was an interesting year, to say the least.
But at the same time, as you stated, there was a lot of positives that we can continue to build on and to grow from. I mean, there was some things that didn't happen as well as what we would have liked, but they're going to end up being, in the long run, learning experiences for us. And we have to continue to grow and work to get better. And I believe that we did that as the year went, as things came up. You know, our motto was, let's just make sure it doesn't happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when there was a negative play, I feel like the guys did a good job of responding and not allowing it to rear its ugly head again. So I'm encouraged by that, and we're going to continue to obviously build on the things that we did well, and we're going to obviously look to improve on the things that we didn't do as well.
Sure. And when we go back to Phil Dawson as that veteran guy who, when he is put in the position of, you know, making that key, that clutch field goal, delivers and did that obviously very well. The exceptions, of course, being when there were problems on the punt snaps, and you got that resolve when you when the Browns replaced Ryan Pomperion with Christian Yount. And Christian, really, his name, it was interesting. You heard his name when he came aboard, Coach, but by the end of the season, no one was talking about him because those snaps were being made fine.
No, he did a great job, and he was put in a tough spot, but he responded and really encouraged about where he's going to go and what he can do. And with going back to Phil Dawson, I mean, here's a guy that made 7 of 8 from 50 plus and then was also 7 of 8 from 40 plus. So you're talking 40 yards plus. He's 14 of 16, which is almost 88%. I mean, what a great player, and he did great things for us this year, and that's a blessed that he did that for us.
You've been around a lot of kickers in your coaching career. What struck you, and I know they all have different personalities, just like all people do and players do, what struck you about Phil Dawson and getting to know him this year in your first season with the Browns?
Well, obviously you knew he was a true pro because he's been in this league a long time, but to me, Phil Dawson is a football player. When we go and we do things kickoff coverage wise, I mean, people probably assume kicker just kicks the ball and we go down and cover, but Phil understands about hang time, ball placement, what their return scheme is, and then how our guys are supposed to fit and cover into those things. And he's able to understand all that. Therefore, he says, you know, I can put the ball a little bit more over here, or the wind's blowing here, I can put it right here, because he understands the whole, all the components of the coverage part. And to me, a lot of kickers I haven't been around do that, and Phil does. So to us, that's a plus, because he is truly, in my opinion, a football player.
And when you have a guy like that, you really, what is the coaching element of it? Do you, when you have a veteran kicker like that, do you just sort of trust that they do their thing, or what are the guidelines or the guidances that a coach provides to a player like that?
I think when you're talking about a true pro, and someone's been doing it and has been very good at his craft for a long time, I think you're into kind of managing them. And, you know, he has his routine. You never have to worry that he's going to come to work and not go through his routine. Phil has a set routine. He's gonna work it each and every day, and he works his craft. So there, you're just watching some of the little things. If you're not there to tweak him, his leg swing or anything like that, but if he hits a little bit of rut, you try to help manage those things and give some ideas. But he's great at what he does, and he obviously knows his leg swing better than anybody.
Chris Tabor, Browns special teams coach, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Brad Maynard, a guy you had known, of course, from Chicago before he joined the Browns, but interesting in talking with him, he had never been in the position that he was when he joined this team, that he was out there and available, and that was new to him. And joining a team that in a season already underway was new to him. So what was it like for you, again, as the position coach here, to manage that with a guy that he has to kind of get over, I guess, that initial sense of, hey, nobody wanted me, and now somebody wants me, and it's, you know, one game into the season, and I'm on a team.
Yeah. Well, obviously, my past relationship with Brad helped. But once again, as we talked about Phil, Brad is also a true pro. Here's a guy that's been doing it 15 years himself. He's good at his craft. He knows exactly what he needs to get done each and every day. But, you know, he came in, did a great job for us. He had 32 inside the 20s, mm-hmm, with only one touchback. And believe it or not, I mean, we all kind of chuckled. His one touchback is the last game, and he's punting into the wind.
Right.
And just kind of a freakish thing there. But he also, the people won't talk about, he had 28 fair catches, which is an awful high number. And the reason why that's important is, there was one game in St. Louis, we had a penalty and we had to go down and cover again. Brad Maynard, being the football player that he is, understands, hey, my guys just ran down, now they have to go down and cover again. So he decides, I'm going to hit the 40-yard fair catch, and so he can help out his other teammates. And to me, that's the professionalism in him.
Sure.
That's the guy that understands the game inside and out and understanding his craft. So that it was a great plus having him. And obviously, him as a holder on field goals, as we saw on some of those plays that didn't work out quite as well, for him to be able to get that ball down like he did, I mean, he's best holder in the league.
And the big thing with Brad, besides the holding we talk about and just that experience that he has, is his precision when it comes to directional kicking, the hang time that he could generate that allowed the coverage to either get there or just flat out eliminate the return.
No question. He's that's the book on Brad Maynard, to be quite honest with you. He's able to eliminate returners. For example, Antonio Brown, who's a great returner for the Steelers and is going to the Pro Bowl as the returner. You play him in two games, and you're going to have to face him twice each year. He had zero returns against us because Brad hung the ball up there and guys were able to get down. I mean, 32 inside the 20s, coupled with he had 28 fair catches. I want to say as we're just now going through the cut-ups, we had to probably cover about 17 kicks, 15 to 17, and the other ones are either fair catches or inside the 20s there. So that's a great tribute to him and being able to eliminate returners. He's throughout his career, obviously, he's faced a lot of great returners. So, you know, it was easy to go up to him during the week and say, Brad, we need to put it here, need to put it there. And he'd say, you know, Coach, I got you. I'll handle it for you. Yeah. And he did. So I was very appreciative of that, no doubt.
Let's talk about the coverage units, because this is such an underappreciated group. And again, with most teams, this happens where it's very changeable. But you have a very young roster here, so you're going to have young people, rookies and whatnot involved in that coverage. I will start, though, with one very experienced guy in Josh Cribbs, who, as much as we talk about him as a return guy, and he's a second alternate for the Pro Bowl as a returner, no shock to that. And he did have the touchdown return against on a punt against the Ravens in the rematch game, but also third alternate as a coverage guy for the Pro Bowl. So his coverage ability is just as recognizable as his return ability.
No question. Josh, first foremost, great football player. He has great instincts. And as a cover guy, I mean, he led our group with, you know, he was our leading tackler. And it really began to show up right after the Oakland game. And, you know, we gave up the touchdown to Oakland, which obviously you never want to do. But after that, our kind of kickoff mantra was never again. And the guys responded to that, and especially with Josh's help. You know, we ended up at the end of the year, statistically, had you take out the Oakland game, you know, the guys ended up finishing sixth in the league in kickoff coverage. And I think overall we ended up finishing 12th in the league with return yardage average against us. So that's a good number, and that's with the Oakland game in there. So, you know, you take that out, it could, you know, we could have been top 10, which is obviously where we want to be. But a lot of that goes to our cover guys. And when Josh came into the mix there, obviously he did help us there tremendously.
And with the rest of the coverage units, as I mentioned, you had different people involved. Coach, if you could break down for us some of the people who were on those coverage teams and did a solid job both in terms of kickoff and punt coverage.
Yeah, I will. You know, Kaluk Maeva and Buster Screen, the young rookie there, they ended up tying for the second leading tacklers on our team, and in our coverage units did a great job for us. And I'm encouraged by that, because Kaluk was a guy that's been out of, you know, due to injury, and then Buster was a rookie, and they just kind of continued to grow as the year went along. Another young player that did a nice job for us and ended up being our third leading tackler was Quentin Spears, a guy that we picked up right before game one and came in and did a great job, and his production was good for us. And here's a guy that also missed about three games due to injury, but got better each and every week. And, you know, you can never lose sight of what Bubba Ventrone brings to the table for you. You know, those guys are getting tackles because he's down there. He's the first guy in, and he's flushing the ball to those guys. His statistics, tackle-wise, might not be up there, but what he does with regards to forcing the ball to those guys speaks volumes. And you know, we can't do things without guys like him. So we do have some good young players that I'm encouraged about, that got a lot of experience, that went through the trials and tribulations of an NFL season.
Sure.
Good, bad, and indifferent. And we'll continue to build upon those things, and we'll get better.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate it, Vic. Thank you.
He is Chris Tabor, the Browns special teams coach, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports is in the game.
Behind the wheel of a new Ford and save at Liberty, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Choose from hundreds of Rangers in stock now with up to $6,000 in rebates. Plus, get a free remote start and bedliner with your purchase now through January 31st. Only at Liberty Ford. That's right, up to $6,000 in rebates plus a free remote start and bedliner on a new Ford Ranger. Large selection, guaranteed financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
If you love wings, if you love rings, and all kinds of other tempting things, take time, great food, get too quick and safe and loose.
Sink your teeth into Munch Madness with our revved up Loop favorites. Try our sweet potato retreads, Greek nachos, shrimp quesadilla, or new appetizer sized flatbread.
Great times, great food, get too quick to safe and loose.
At First Merit Bank, getting to know our customers is important to us. So how do we do it? Well, it's simple. By listening, learning, understanding your business, and by turning all those things into a real, roll-up-our-sleeves, working-together-to-achieve-your-future-goals kind of relationship. So let's start now. Hey, how about that game? Let's get to know each other. First Merit Bank. You first. Member FDIC.
Hi, gang. Riz here, and Russo Rosalina & Company is the official law firm of the Really Big Show. Family-owned and operated, and I'll tell you what, they are Clevelanders. General practice law firm, and they have provided legal service to over 100,000 Ohio residents for 32 years. Two locations, Richmond Town Square and Parmatown. Probate business, injuries, problems at home, wills, go to rrlpa.com. That's rrlpa.com. Russo Rosalina.
Hey, the Roadman, Kenny Rota here, and are you ready for the snow? The team at Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge is, as they want to make you a deal you can't refuse. Like the 2012 Jeep Liberty 4x4 Sport, lease it right now starting as low as $259 a month for 36 months with no money down. That's crazy. I'm driving one of these babies right now and loving it. The look, the way it handles, the all-weather capability, and it's a trail-rated vehicle so I can go anywhere and do anything in my 2012 Jeep Liberty 4x4 Sport. Come check out what I'm talking about. Take it for a test drive at Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge, 123 Broadway Avenue on the historic Bedford Auto Mile. Maybe you're not into leases. You want to buy? Even better. How about a starting price of $20,500 on that brand new 2012 Jeep Liberty 4x4 Sport? Only at Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge, 123 Broadway Avenue on the Bedford Auto Mile. So come take advantage of it. Save big. Hurry, these prices won't last. Call today for more info. 440-232-2121 and tell them the Roadman sent you.
Hi, this is Muhammad Masquerade, and you're listening to the Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
And we are are so pleased that you've chosen to spend this portion of your Tuesday, this windy football Tuesday, with us right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, which is driven by Liberty Ford. And the Browns fans' deposits for those 2012 season tickets and club-level memberships, they're now being accepted. To place your deposit today, call 440-824-3434 or you visit clevelandbrowns.com. And this special Teams by the Numbers segment, it's brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. It's time to take a look inside the numbers at the special teams performance by the Browns in 2011. Helping us to do that, as he always does, is Matt Plerjancic from clevelandbrowns.com. Matt, the biggest story, I think, of this special teams season for the Browns had to be what happened at punter, because when you really break it all down, you know, looking at Brad Maynard and what he was able to accomplish as the third guy to fill the punting position for this team. I mean, the third guy at any spot generally is not an answer for you. He's just filling in. This guy did a lot more than that.
That doesn't really apply to Brad Maynard, though, because he was the answer for the Browns' problems at punter when they lost Reggie Hodges early in training camp to the Achilles, and then his replacement, Richmond McGee, goes down with the back injury. Maynard really stepped in and did a good job for this team, and he was one of the best, in my opinion, one of the best Browns acquisitions this year. He placed 32 punts inside the 20-yard line, which tied for third in the league. It also tied a Browns single-season record that Brian Wagner originally set in the 1989 season. He had just one touchback, and it came in the season finale against Pittsburgh, and everybody said that it was a fluke punt because he punted into the wind, and we all remember how strong the wind was that day. But still, just an outstanding year from an all-around standpoint from Brad Maynard. And when you look at what he did outside of the punts inside the 20, he averaged 40.5 yards per punt, netted 36.7. He punted 81 times, 13 of which went out of bounds, 25 were fair caught, and just 25 were returned. So you're talking about a guy that definitely stepped up and filled a role. And he came in with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, too. He had something to prove after getting waived by the Texans and going through what he did with the Chicago Bears. And, you know, he was with Chicago for a long time, and he definitely wanted to show that he could still punt in this league, and he did.
Excellent directional punter, excellent hang time punter, really. You know, not a guy who's going to give you that gross distance, and in fact, that's the kind of number that would discourage teams from picking him up, one of them being the Houston Texans, who ended up with Matt Turk, but they wanted to go younger at the position. They ended up finishing older with Turk, and actually, if they had a Brad Maynard, what a difference he could have been. You look at the fair catch totals for this Browns team, this is a number that really jumps out. 28 total, that's tied for second most in the NFL. The team that had the most was the New York Jets with 31, their punter, T.J. Conley.
It was a good effort by the Browns punt unit all year. And when you consider the fact that they had two different long snappers and three punters, you're talking about a whole lot of guys that didn't have a whole ton of experience working together, didn't have any camp working together. By the end of the year, the two guys that were in charge of the punting, the long snapper and Christian Yount and Brad Maynard, didn't spend a single second in training camp with this Browns team. And they did a fantastic job for this team. And Maynard, really, what was one of his most underrated skills was his holding.
Yeah.
And what he was able to do on the long snaps. He was able to place down some really bad snaps and able to get Phil Dawson in a position where he could line up and kick.
And what's interesting, we're having this conversation about Brad Maynard. He signed a one-year deal to be part of this team. He told me on this show his only desire is to take a job with whatever team he's with next year, including this one, not compete for one. Reggie Hodges coming back from that Achilles injury, so the assumption is that with Reggie Hodges back, he would have to compete, Brad Maynard, if he's still on this football team, and he's not interested in doing that. So we might be talking about a guy who played his last game for the Browns when they faced Pittsburgh.
You're right, and really that's almost a good problem to have, in the fact that you have two guys that are really good punters to decide upon.
When
you have that opportunity, that means you did something good in terms of going out and signing the right guys. Now, with Maynard not being under contract and not wanting to compete for the job, I think it all comes down to the health of Reggie Hodges.
Sure.
Is he ready to kick the football, and does he have the same leg strength that he had before the injury? It's a different type of injury for a punter, because that's his plant leg that got hurt. And when your plant leg gets hurt, all your weight's crashing down on it, your muscles have to be super strong and be ready to take it.
Matt Florjancic joining us here, breaking down the numbers of the Browns special teams in 2011. Of course, Phil Dawson, and no special teams conversation should go very far without talking about one of the very best kickers in the game. And he talked about this being 2011 being his best personal season. I think from the standpoint of long range kicking, 7 of 8, 50 yards or more, tells that story. Once again, though, it's familiar with Phil that you can talk about great performance in numbers, and unfortunately for him, on a losing, you know, a team with a losing record.
Yeah, Phil's been the Browns' leading scorer multiple times since they returned to the league, and he's had a couple of seasons over 100 points. He just missed it this year with 92 points on 24 field goals and 20 extra points. But when you look at those two numbers, I think they're the most telling for Phil Dawson. 24 field goals, 20 extra points. It means the Browns weren't doing a very good job early in the year to put the ball in the end zone and give him an opportunity to kick more extra points instead of long field goals. And 7 of 8 is great from long range. You don't want your kicker kicking 8 to 10 50-yard field goals in a season.
Right.
Ideally, you want the offense to move the football a little bit more. And once they did, you know, they were able to get touchdowns instead of field goals. But Phil, being the professional that he is, went out there and did his job and answered the call as usual. He's just a consummate pro, and he went through some struggles this year, having to break in 3 different holders and 2 different long snappers. And I tell you what, he did probably the best job of anybody in the league. I don't know too many kickers who would be happy about that much change going on in front of him.
Joshua Cribbs, bothered by the groin injury, really fought through that the entire year, showed really incomparable toughness as both a returner, but especially as a guy who covers kicks. And, you know, getting recognition for both of those areas, in addition to the fact that he contributed as a receiver and was number 2 on this team in receptions, really made him such a key utility for this Browns team.
Josh had another phenomenal season, had 14 total tackles on special teams, led the Browns in that department, also led them in solo tackles and assists. He averaged 25 yards per kickoff return, 974 yards gained on 39 returns, averaged 11.5 yards per punt return, and broke a nearly 2-year-long scoring drought with an 84-yard punt return for a touchdown at Baltimore on December 24th. But when you look at Josh's numbers from the 2011 season, the number 5 is going to stick out. He had 5 returns of over 40 yards in 2011. He did not have a single return over 40 yards in 2010, and all 5 of those explosive returns led to Brown scores. He had a 51-yard kickoff against Cincinnati that was resulted in a touchdown. He had a 52-yard kickoff and a 43-yard punt in Indianapolis, both led to touchdowns. His 63-yard kickoff return in Houston led to a field goal, and then the aforementioned 84-yard punt return for a touchdown against the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore. Cribbs had another outstanding year in terms of his overall yardage as well. He moved into 7th place on the NFL's all-time career return yards list. He has over 10,000 in his career, passed Kevin Williams early in the season, and just rounded out a great run, an injury-hampered run, mind you, with a heck of a return in Baltimore.
Now, there was a negative side to the Browns' special teams. We know about Ryan Pompeo's struggles as a snapper, and then he gets replaced by Christian Yount, who handled it quite well after that point. But more than that, too, were some coverage issues. And these eventually got corrected, but nonetheless, when you're letting returns go back for touchdowns, it really should have been 3 total. I know one was nullified by a penalty. That was a concern, and that was something that had to be fixed. A lot of young people on those coverage units, but still, it's the last thing you want to see.
Without question, and I think Joshua Cribbs summed it up best when he talked about the youth on the special teams coverage unit before he was put back on the coverage unit full-time. He said, we had 14 combined years of experience between the 11 guys on the field and 13 belonging to the punter. So that really gives you an indication of how young this Browns team was on special teams. But like you said, coverage early on hurt the Browns. They gave up a 101-yard touchdown return on a kickoff in Oakland to Jacoby Ford. That really kind of turned the tide in the Odaco Coliseum in favor of the Raiders. And then on December 4th, they gave up a 68-yard punt return for a touchdown to Ladarius Webb, who is an outstanding return man and one heck of a DB as well.
Yeah, he is. And again, it was kind of the story, a mixed story for the special teams, I think still mostly on the positive side, thanks to guys like Dawson and Maynard.
and Josh Cribbs, of course. But overall, you know, there's room for improvement, and we'll see how it all comes together. Matt, thank you so much for taking the time to break it all down, and we'll do this again. Matt Flurjancic of ClevelandBrowns.com joining us to break down the numbers of the Browns special teams in 2011 on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now, EA Sports. It's in the game.
Looking for a high-quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, look no further than Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Go to LibertyFord.com and search hundreds of pre-owned vehicles, all makes and models with special internet pricing. Plus, bring in your tax return to any Liberty Ford location, and with our guaranteed financing, you can drive out in the vehicle that fits your needs. Guaranteed financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
Hey Browns fans, your favorite Cleveland Browns are going green, and you can too. Intercept your ways. Recycle your cardboard, paper, plastic, cans, and glass at home, at work, and on game days. Remember to compost food scraps and yard clippings too. Make it a habit. Reduce, reuse, recycle, and compost. Visit CuyahogaSWD.org to learn more. Powered by the Ohio Department of Natural Resources in the Cuyahoga County Solid Waste District.
Hey, Greeny.
Yes, Golic.
You know, part of being a real man is knowing how to take care of your car.
Then count me in as a man, Golic, because I know NTB is the place to go.
That's because NTB has the largest selection of name brand tires, and with over 1 million tires available every day, NTB always has the right tire for your car, truck, or SUV.
And don't forget, Golic, you can bring the car to NTB for all of your service needs, too. It's easy. They're open early, open late, and open 7 days a week.
So why pay outrageous prices when you can trust the professionally trained NTB technicians who are ASE certified? And I bet you didn't know, Greeny, that the best way to pay is with the NTB credit card that can be used at over 650 locations nationwide.
So, let's get the stats straight, Golic, because we know you're easily confused. NTB isn't just tires at great prices. They're vehicle maintenance, brakes, oil changes, repairs, and much, much more.
You got it, Greeny. NTB is keeping the world in perfect motion.
This is Jim Swayze. You know how every prediction seems to be followed by a suggestion? Like, it'll probably rain, better not wash the car. So when I heard they're predicting an exceptionally cold winter, I suggested to Jenny that we head to Half Price Books and stock up on some great cozy up-to-the-fire reads. When it's downright chilly, it's right down to Half Price Books for us. Around our house, stacks of seasoned wood and seasonal books pile up faster than all our New Year's resolutions. And when the kids come in from the cold, some hot cider and a wonderland of warm stories do the trick. They love Half Price Books. There's just something about real books. Thumbing through the pages, peeking to see how close you're getting to the end, it gets you as wrapped up as a cat in a quilt. And when almost everything's half price or less, the whole family can really stock up for the winter. Half Price Books. Real books, real treasures, real cheap. In North Olmsted, Mayfield Heights, Mentor, and Rocky River. Find out more or drop me a note on the blog at hpb.com.
When Lexus launched the RX, it was the original luxury crossover. And then, following its success, our competitors began to introduce their own versions. But over the years, one thing has become clear. While the RX is often imitated, it remains impossible to duplicate. The RX didn't just set the bar for the competition, it raises it every day. From building the first luxury hybrid to offering a pre-collision system with radar technology and a class-leading 10 airbags. When innovation happens, it happens here first. Which may have something to do with why the Lexus RX also has the best driver loyalty in its class. The Lexus RX. Why settle for a copy when you can drive the original? See your Cleveland Akron area Lexus dealer.
Based on the average loyalty rate of all SUVs in the Lexus near luxury SUV segment since 2000 using R.L. Polk & Company's household loyalty methodology.
And we welcome you back to Cleveland Browns Daily, this Football Tuesday edition. Appreciate that you've been along with us. We answer your questions now. You submit them to the Browns official Facebook and Twitter pages. We go check those out and pull out the questions and answer them. Like the one from Trent via Facebook. What can the Browns players do to establish a winning mentality that will see us take it
take it to the big teams rather than our recent conservative approach. Take it to them. I like your mentality there, Trent. Aggressiveness is what you're talking about. I don't know that that's what this team lacked. I think there was poor play, poor execution, more than there was a timidness. Did they always, you know, was the play calling and the mentality of the approach schematically, not schematically, strategically is what I mean, strategically, play calling, was that always to go for the jugular? And the answer is no, but I think wisely it was playing percentages when you should, as opposed to being foolish. And I don't, and I'm not going to editorialize on your question and say you were suggesting be foolish, take dumb chances. That isn't what you mean. You want them to win, and you want them to do the right thing. But I think there are chances that you take that make more sense than others, and aggressiveness. I think when you're limited, as this team was, at wide receiver, at quarterback at times, offensive line many times, I think there's less you can do. I think when you get more aggressive, when you say, let's throw it downfield as much as possible, attack teams, you open yourself up to bad things that can happen, turnovers and such, because you're not equipped to handle what that other team brings to you. I will say this, the snapshot that I love from this season, there's a couple snapshots, and both came in that loss at Pittsburgh. Snapshot one was Colt McCoy attacking early in that game, going after that Pittsburgh secondary, doing to that Pittsburgh defense and its aggressiveness and over-pursuit and everything else, what you actually saw the Broncos do in winning a playoff game against them with a quarterback who isn't the best thrower we've seen in Tim Tebow. So I like that snapshot. Of course, the other snapshot was the goal line stand, Chris Gokong and the rest of the defense handling Rashard Mendenhall there. Heidi from Facebook, are the Browns more concerned about free agency or the draft? Resoundingly, Heidi, the draft. This is a draft-oriented approach here. And Heidi, that's not a bulletin for most teams in the league. Most teams will rely on the draft over free agency. The free agency magic just doesn't exist. Yes, we see and have seen occasional teams put a lot of stock in that, put most of their investment in that. Last year it was the Eagles. We've seen it in previous years from the Redskins. You know, teams go kind of crazy in free agency, spend a lot of money, and get a lot of attention, get a lot of love from the media because there's really nothing else to talk about in those off periods, March, April, May. You're fixated on who did the most, who was the most aggressive, and you become fascinated by that. And a lot of us were. And again, this was prior to my joining the Browns, so I was writing about the league as a whole for NFL.com, working with NFL Network. And the Eagles were the predominant conversation going into that. Just at about the time, actually, I was joining this team, but it was simultaneous with that, that they were the big subject nationally. And what they were going to do, you know, quarterback was a big, with Kevin Cobb and the whole Michael Vick thing, because that opened the door for them to do a lot of the things that they ended up doing. And where did it lead? They were a pretty good team at the end of the season, but it didn't pay off. And it didn't pay off for the Redskins. Scott via Facebook. It doesn't mean it's wrong, by the way, before I go to Scott's question, but I do believe soundness in drafting is the key to sustained success. Scott via Facebook, when can fans expect to see the Browns in the AFC Championship again? As soon as next year? Or is it a building plan that will take 6 years? Well, Scott, I don't think the Browns have anywhere on any calendar a 6-year plan or even a 5-year plan. It's not how it works in the NFL. Mike Holmgren regime enters its third year this year. Okay, so they've had 2 years, two drafts. Draft number 3 is coming up with Tom Hecker at the helm. And I think the approach is going to be to focus on this draft and believe the team will get better. I don't see any schedule for this. You're asking me what I think, what fans could expect. I don't see a playoff coming up in 2012. That doesn't mean it won't happen. But realistically, and how far they have to go, I do see vast improvement. It could be a playoff. 9-7 Giants are in the playoffs, and teams in other, you know, in quote lesser divisions. Last I checked, the AFC North, not a lesser division, and isn't going to be a lesser division in 2012. So it'll be difficult to get there. But 2013, I like their chances. I mean, I like the steps. Step one, you know, moving much further than four wins. Shouldn't take a lot to do that. And that's the expectation. That's the expectation. The expectation is always to win and always make the playoffs, always get to the Super Bowl. But I'm talking reality here. I think there's an intermediate step called the 2012 season, and then we'll see what we got after that. All right, we want to thank Chris Tabor. We want to thank Matt Florjancic. We want to thank Mohamed Massaqua. And we want to thank Jameer Howerton. And we want to thank Michelle Manzo and our producer, Dave DiNatale. We'll talk to you again tomorrow night on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.